Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Nathan Marcus, Alav Shalom, Leilun Nishmat, Natan Ben Rachel, sponsored by the Marcus family. As well, is the Breakfast in the Class is dedicated in loving memory of Mrs. Lily Safra, Leilun Nishmat, Leah Batchan. Our philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. The Week of Kobru is sponsored by David E. Ash, in honor of you and your substantial capacity to good today and every day. And on that note, there is a new website where you can support all the work that we're doing here by purchasing a t-shirt and or a hoodie, honoring your capacity to good today and every day at capacityforgood.com. Have a happy new year, according to Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Tukachinsky, with a little bit delayed from the Rosh Hashanah, the happy new year that we all experienced as Jews maybe a few months ago. Let's get rocking and rolling. My friends, this week we experience the opportunity that Yaakov has to bless his children. The Birkat Yaakov, the blessings of Jacob. He gathers his children around his deathbed and he gives each one of his children a beracha. He gives the Reuven, Shimon, he gives Shimon and Levi, he gives Yehuda, he gives Yisachar, Zebulun, each one gets a beautiful beracha. Now, my friends, it's an interesting thing, because if Yaakov is giving berachot, it's a strange thing, because he gives Shimon and Levi not a beracha. He tells Shimon and Levi, Arur apam ki az, you know, cursed is their anger, for it is brazen, right? It's a strange expression for someone who's giving berachot. Could you imagine, Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim Menashe, the next guy comes, he's like, cursed be your gava, whatever, you know, no berachot for me? What are you doing? Right? And our rabbis explain that Yaakov blessed Shimon and Levi by decreasing something negative in their lives, the excess anger that they had. So he created an opportunity for beracha by eliminating something negative. Let's use this as an example. Imagine a person has a business and he's trying to grow the business. So there's two ways you can help that person. One way might be to give him a $100,000 loan so that he could buy new things, so he could do new things. Another way might be to remove $100,000 of debt. Whether you gave him $100,000 in the plus column or you removed $100,000 from his negative column, net, it's exactly the same. So Yaakov Avinu saw an opportunity to be able to bless them by removing something negative. But there's a deeper understanding here. You know, every single day, we also give berachot, not just to our children, but we make berachot in our day-to-day. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam she'akol ni'a b'dvaro. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam she'kidshanu mitzvah v'tzivanu le'aniach tefilin. And what do those words mean? Baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you, O God. It's a strange thing. God is, as we know, Mekor HaBeracha. He's the source of all blessing. It's a little weird for you to come and give a beracha to God. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, there's a tradition at a Brit Milah that there's three people that you can get a beracha from at a Brit Milah. Everybody knows that you can get a beracha from the sandak, right? That you can, from the person who sits down, has the baby on his lap, for the Brit Milah, but people forget that you could also get a beracha from the Avi HaBen and as well from the Mohel. So there's a long line in front of the Sandak. If you want easy pass, just go on another two. That's not as well known. I don't know if giving it over in the Breakfast in the Class online is going to ruin that, so I'm sorry if I created more lines for you, but this is an opportunity to understand there's other people to get berachot from. How many times during a Brit Milah have I gone to the Sandak, or I go to the Avi HaBen, and I say to the Wurim Mohel, and I say, please give me a beracha? They're like, Rabbi, I'm going to give you your beracha. You're Rabbi, you should give me a beracha. And I always tell them, it's true, Rabbi should give berachot, right? But today, you have a special koach, you have a special power, right? Now, that question that he asked, it's a good question. Why should I give a rabbi a beracha? I'm just a regular guy. Imagine that times 100 billion trillion goggleplex. You're going to give God a beracha, Baruch Atah Hashem. The rabbis explain, it doesn't mean that you're saying to God, Hashem, you should be blessed. Hashem, you should have an amazing day. He doesn't need you. He can make himself have an amazing day. Right? Any problems that Hashem, you should have a blessing that your Beit HaMikdash should be rebuilt. He can rebuild his own Beit HaMikdash. And you know how long it would take God to do whatever it is that you're blessing him that he should have? Instantaneously. There's no concept for us to bless God. So why are we making berachot all day? And the rabbis explained that Baruch Atah Hashem does not mean I'm blessing you, God. But Baruch Atah Hashem means Mekor HaBerachot. You are Baruch. You are blessed. Blessed art thou. Not I am blessing thou. You are Mevorach. You are blessed. Because you're the source of all blessing. So if that's the case, the word Baruch could mean to give a beracha, but it could also mean a recognition of beracha that is already present. Is this clear? There's a famous example of this. An example of this that I heard from a good friend of mine back in the day, from one of the rabbis, one of the yeshiva students who learned with me by Rav Tzvi Kaplan. He said over Dvar Torah, and he explained this concept that he drew a comparison to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yishmael, right? Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said, Pa'amachat nichnasti. One time I walked into the Kodesh HaKodashim and I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his Kiseh HaKavod, you know, exalted and high though it may be. And God said to me, Yishmael beni Baracheni. Yishmael was the Kohen Gadol. He's in the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur. He sees the image of God sitting on the Kiseh HaKavod, and God says to Yishmael Kohen Gadol, bless me. And what does Yishmael Kohen Gadol say? Right? He says, right? Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha. It should be your will. Right? It's one of the, a very famous song. Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha. Sheikh Bishu Rachamecha et Kascha Yagolu Rachmecha Almidotecha. Right? He gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu a blessing that his mercy should overcome his anger or his judgment. And he should move from one seat, so to speak, one throne, Kiseh Din to Kiseh Rachamim. Titnaheg, and you should act with the Jewish people, lefni mishurat adin. You know, not by the state of law. Now, what does that mean? How could he give Hashem that beracha? If God wants to do that, he'll do that. He doesn't want to do that, he's not going to do it. And also, who would fulfill the beracha that he was giving to God? God would fulfill the beracha. So what's the point? And the rabbis, this rabbi explained, he said, Baracheni, bless me over here, means to give a description of God. What is happening on Yom Kippur? What Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was saying to God is what happens on Yom Kippur. That is what God does on Yom Kippur. He comes and he rises from his throne of judgment and moves to a throne of mercy to bring us through this day. Lifnei Amonai Titaru. In front of God, you receive your kapara, you receive your tahara, your purity. So the word beracha, really, in many senses, it means a description of the reality. Now, I want to share with you, that is a mind-blowing concept. Because what that means when it comes to God is you're saying, God, she'akol ni'ah b'dvaro, when you make a beracha on a coffee, on a drink. Everything in this world happens by your word. You didn't bless God, you described a reality that you realized when you drank a cup of water, that you focused on when you drank a cup of coffee. My friends, that idea is also true when you bless your children. Yisimecha Elokim ke'efraim chemenashe. We bless our children, we say to our sons, you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. We bless our daughters to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Veleah. We're not just saying, Hashem, please make them become those people. We're telling our children that you inside of you are a mini Ephraim Menashe. My daughter, inside of you is the power to become one of the Imahot. You have it inside of you. I'm describing you to you. I'm saying I hope that that which you could be becomes that which you are. My friends, when we look at the Berachot now, we understand something very different. Yaakov Avinu looks at all of his children and he tells them before he dies, Nad, you should have parnasah, you should have children, you should have mazal. But he tells Yehuda, Miterev beni alita. You're going to be a leader. You're going to be someone who understands how to bounce back from the mistakes that he makes. Yosef, you're going to be someone, Bechor Shoro Adaylo, right? You're going to be someone who rises above Ayin Ara. Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin. There's a mirroring of the Berachot that you have by Yaakov and you have by Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah. But each son, each kid was told something about themselves by their father who was about to pass away. Don't forget who you are, what you're capable of. That's the biggest beracha, the biggest blessing a parent can give their child is not words, but is a recognition of the child's innate strengths, a description to a child. Here's what's special about you. You want to be a beracha to your children? Be the dad and the mom that understands what is special about each child. My friends, if this is the case, then we start to understand what it is that Yaakov was saying to Shimon and Levi. Arur apam, I curse your anger, ki az, it's brazen, it's too strong. Your anger is too strong. Ki be'apam, right, in their anger, they killed. And with their fury, they uprooted an ox. What did they do? They were the ones that killed out Shechem. Vayomeru ish el achiv. And a man said to his brother, right? A man said to his brother, lichu v'nehargeu. Shimon and Levi were the ones that wiped out Shechem. Shimon and Levi were actually the ones that decided that they should kill Yosef. Let's get rid of him. Lichu nehargeu. Both times. How do we know? How do we know with Shimon and Levi? By Shechem, we know. Because it says, Shimon and Levi, achedina, that's what they did. The Pasuk tells us. How do we know that in the story of Yosef, it was Shimon and Levi, and not all the brothers? How do we know it was their idea? Rashi says, because Reuven and Yehuda, it couldn't have been, because both of them didn't want to kill him. Yehuda said, let's throw him in the pit. Reuven said, right? Yehuda said, let's sell him. Reuven said, let's throw him in the pit. He wants to bring him back to his father. Who else was it? Benjamin? Not there. The sons of the Shifachot, they don't hate him. He's on their side. Who could it be? Yisachar and Zivulun, the last two children of Leah, says Rashi, they would not have spoken in front of their older brothers. So it could only be Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi are a tandem team of kanaut, of inner strength, of violent correctionism. They want to do what's right, and they do what's right with a vengeance. What, they're going to kidnap my sister? They're going to rape Dina? Hachzonaya aset achotenu? Or they rain down fire and hell fury. Okay? Yaakov Avinu says, yes, you're right. You should have been furious. But you go wipe out a city, you don't realize that everyone around you is now your biggest mortal enemy. All we are is a family. Is it the smart thing to do to go poke the sleeping bear? You know, you did it because you wanted to do the right thing. Yes. But was that the right thing? Maybe we should have talked about it. My friends, Arur Apam, so he curses their anger. I want to give two different approaches to this concept of cursing their anger. You know, many times a person looks for what they're good at, what's really special about them. And oftentimes, you know, you ask someone, what's your, you know, tell me, what's, you know, what's your unique talent? What's your special, outstanding character trait? And they struggle to be able to define it. They don't know how to express it. They don't know how to explain. I'm just a regular guy. And I want to share with you something that I think is very powerful. Arur Apam might not be, let's get this out of the way to uncover who Shimon and Levi are. And I want to explain what I mean by way of an example, a story. There was a fellow who lived in the town of Preshburg, in the city of the Hatam Sofer. This guy was so cheap. You know, they say some guys have deep pockets, but short arms. They don't give nothing to nobody. Shemit Nadev, efes dolarim lebet haKnesset. Matenat yado, matenat hatachat sheli. Klum! Guy is the cheapest guy you ever had the pleasure of meeting. Doesn't matter what they ask him for, zero. All right? Okay. Please no one go up to the Sefer Torah and say Matanat hatachat sheli. It's not respectful to the Sefer Torah. Also, my bosses would be very upset. Rabotai! Anyway, time comes, and like they say, the galgal, the wheel of life, turns. Mashpil geim, umagbi ashfalim. This guy was on top of the world, didn't give to anybody. Living in his palace of gold, he becomes poor. Guy has a family to feed. He goes around asking people for tzedakah. What does everyone say? Yalla. Efes dolarim to the miser. Zero. No one gives him a dime. And his family, now they have no food to put on the table. All these years, the guy didn't give to the food fund. He didn't give to Chazak. He didn't give to Bikur Cholim. He didn't give nobody. Now he's going around everybody. Everyone's saying, I think we visited you. Didn't we visit you once? And what did you tell us? You told us that everyone should figure it out for themselves. I think you told us. Figure it out for yourself, Ruhi. He comes to the Chatam Sofer. He pours out his heart. He says, listen, I can't get a dime from anybody. And yes, I made a mistake. I was terribly miserly. Now I understand, la la la. He goes, I have an opportunity, a business opportunity, but I need, in order to do this business opportunity, I think it could help me get back on my feet. It's going to cost me 1,000 coins. And I don't have it. And I'm trying to find a loan. I don't even want tzedakah, just a loan. I'll pay back every dollar. Chatam Sofer says he feels merciful in his heart. Yeah, he did made a mistake, but should he pay his children pay for it? Maybe he didn't understand what it means to be hungry, to be cold. You know, now he's doing teshuvah. The Hatam Sofer says, you know what? You got it. I'm going to lend you the money. Hatam Sofer looks around the house. Only problem is, he doesn't have the money. He's given it all away to tzedakah already. So he goes to the cabinet and he takes out one of the family silver things. Maybe it was candlesticks. Maybe it was a kiddush cup. I don't know. Something very expensive. And he says, here, take this to the pawn shop or sell it and use the money to be able to do your business. And Hashem should bless your business with success and you should return to Etano Arishon, El Na Refanalo. Kachava. The guy pawns the thing, gets the 1,000 coins, does the business deal, and because the Chatam Sofer gave him Beracha, whatever he touches turns to gold. One deal after the next deal, after the next deal, very quickly the guy's back where he needs to be. One day, a couple weeks later, knock at the door, Chatam Sofer, while the kids, the students are there with the rabbi, with the chacham, studying. He walks in, he says, I'm sorry, I don't mean to disturb. Rabbi says, it's fine, no, please come in. He says, I have all the money, every last cent, to pay you back. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Here you go, here's the money, 1,000 coins. Thank you very much. He says, and you know, no one else would help me. Everyone else, and maybe they were right. No one else, but you took pity on me and my family. He says, I got you something to pay you back for giving me, for loaning me that money. And he pulls out a box, a beautiful box, hands it to the Chatam Sofer. Chatam Sofer opens the box. And in the box, mounted beautifully on a velvet pedestal in the box, is an enormous diamond worth a tremendous amount of money. Chatam Sofer is looking at the diamond. Wow. He says, this is magnificent. What a beautiful stone. I can't believe it. And he's watching it, turning it in the light. He says, I got to look at this in the light. All the students are looking. They can't believe the rabbi. This is straightforward halakha. You can't lend somebody money and then take more after the guy pays you back. What's that called? Ribit. Turns you into a frog. Ribit. Right? Sorry. Couldn't help myself. Anyway, the guy takes the diamond. The rabbi goes to the window. He's turning it in the sunlight. Magnificent. He's going on and on how the stone, and the students are now uncomfortable. They're like, the rabbi forgot the halakha. Maybe he's being blinded by all the shine of the diamond. Right? Anyway, the guy is, what color, what clarity, the whole thing. The students are getting more and more crazy. They can't believe between themselves. So finally, the rabbi smiles at the students. He says, well, you think I don't know it's ribit? He says, but how often do I get the opportunity to fulfill the commandment of the Torah, the isur of taking ribit? And the same way I do every mitzvah that comes my way to the best of my ability, the nicest mitzvah, to do it with the nicest etrog, with the best wine for kiddush, with the nicest clothes for Shabbat, the mitzvah of turning down ribit, I'm making it into the nicest turning down of ribit ever. I'm going to turn down a magnificent diamond. I should appreciate what I'm turning down. I'm doing the mitzvah b'hidur. My friends, most of us don't think of hidur mitzvah, of a beautifying of mitzvah when it comes to a lo ta'aseh, to a negative commandment. We don't think of that. What do we think of? We think of beautifying the mitzvot aseh that we do, the positive commandments, making a beautiful Shabbat, you know? But how many people think about making beautiful the non-mitzvot, the mitzvot that you have to stay away from, the averot? Can I give you an example? Let's say a guy drives to shul, drives all the time on Shabbat. And then he decides, from now on, I'm not driving on Shabbat. Could you imagine he goes to the store and buys the most comfortable pair of shoes? I think it's On shoes, right? Is it On? I tried to buy, they didn't have my size, but I wanted to buy like Rabbi On's, right? Because they're like black ones that almost look like shoes. So for the day after basketball, when your feet are killing, you have something comfortable to walk around in. The guy goes online, he buys $400 On shoes. Hazaku Baruch. Okay, could you imagine this? He's being mehader in walking on Shabbat. The lo ta'aseh is don't drive. So what is he doing? He's doing don't drive in the best possible way. You walk past the subway. Not the subway, the subway. There's no good smells coming out of the subway. I'm talking about the non-kosher store that sells sandwiches. You walk past, you smell fresh baguettes being baked. You smell delicious meats being grilled. Most people think, ikhtaref. No, the Gemara says, a person shouldn't say ikhtaref. A person should say, wow! That smells amazing! Delicious! Fantastic! Not kosher. Not having it. Not going to eat it. You could do a lotaseh, you could do a non-mitzvah, a non-action, in a very beautiful way. And that's a big mitzvah. My friends, a person could come to this world and their tikkun, and that which they came to fix, that which they came for, their reason for existence, their raison d'etre, is what? It might be to start a Beit Knesset, to open up a yeshiva, to do some great thing in this world. But you know what else could be a person's purpose for living in this world? To not do something. You could come and live this whole life. Want to make sure he's okay, Aaron? Yeah? to live his whole life, a person. A person can live his whole life. And you know when they say, I was born for this moment? You could have a born for this moment, and you know what you do in that moment? Nothing. I don't know, but I kind of feel like if I had to choose the one moment that Yosef was born for, what was the one moment that he lived for? I'm torn between two moments. What would those two moments be? Yosef's purpose for being born. Running away from Potiphar's wife. Potiphar. Sorry? I think the brothers standing in front of him when he forgives them. He can kill them. He cannot give them food. He has the opportunity to take revenge, and what does he need to do? He doesn't even need to do anything. Yosef's lack of action when his brothers were there. Yosef running out of the house when she wants him to be with her. The non-action of Yosef is perhaps the reason why he was born. Is this clear? So whereas Yaakov gives a beracha to all the other brothers, you should do this, you should be that. You know the beracha he gives to Shimon and Levi? I give you a blessing from the bottom of my heart that you should not be this. That when the time comes, your anger, it should be controlled. It should not get away from you. My friends, some people were born to do great things. And some people were born to not do great things. How wild is that? So if you're struggling to figure out what's special about you, maybe you're thinking in the wrong column. You can't figure out what you do really well. Maybe we should talk about what you don't do really well. And I don't mean that you do not well. I mean that you don't do well. Maybe you're a person who's capable of controlling their anger. I don't respond. You don't think that's a big enough deal? It's one of the first things that we say about God is Erech Apayim. We describe God by that term. You don't do something really well, Erech Apayim. You know what else you could not do magnificently? Judge people. We don't think this way. But you see here that we should. I have a fantastic question that's always bothered me. And I'm not going to answer it today. I'm going to throw it out there to you and to all the listeners. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow. Here's my question. If Birkat Yaakov, therefore, is Yaakov Avinu looking around at his family in the eyes of each one of his children and saying to them, you are special because of this. You are wonderful because you're going to do that. You are amazing, Shimon Levi, because you're not going to do this. Okay, I get it. But how could it be that Shimon and Levi share the same thing? It's supposed to be about what's unique about you. Every other child, not only did they get a positive beracha, now we understand that they got a negative beracha. Fine. But it was a beracha as well. But how could it be that he gave the same thing to Shimon and Levi? What was special about Shimon? What was unique about Levi? How could you put two people together if the whole thing is about finding what's unique about each one of the children? I'm going to leave you with that question, and you can respond to me if you hear this online, or if you have a good answer, you can let me know. But Be'ezat Hashem, we'll cover that tomorrow. But with regards to today, I want you to think about these moments when you don't do like the Chatam Sofer. Wow, magnificent. Thank you very much. I can't have it. I appreciate that you wanted to do it. But look at what I turned down. I turned down a magnificent diamond. I don't eat kosher, okay? I don't eat not kosher. This smells so delicious. I'm not going to have it. You know why? I only eat kosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so. You know something? I'm going to walk to shul. I'm going to stop driving. I'm going to stop using my phone. You know what? I go out and I buy a magnificent Shabbox. That's a Shabbat box. It's a beautiful gold pedestal. This doesn't exist. I'm making it up, okay? Beautiful gold pedestal like you find in the museum with a glass case on the top. And it has a phone stand in the middle and it rotates. Could you imagine not using your phone, but dialing up how you not use your phone? How beautiful. You keep your mouth shut in an argument. Wow. Do you know what I did today? Honey, had a great day today. Really, what'd you do? I did nothing. And I kicked tuchus today at doing nothing. It was the best day of doing nothing of my whole life. I'm so proud. And you know what? It might be the defining moment of my life. Is a moment where I've done nothing. I didn't react. I didn't bite. I didn't take the opportunity. I didn't invest in a shady deal. I didn't run after something I shouldn't have run after. I didn't look at what I wasn't supposed to look at. And how much pride can you take? What a beracha to be able to recognize the gift that is that moment. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.